John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Great question. A question that needs to be asked of each and every one of us by ourselves as well as by others, and we need to come up with a good answer. We need to come up with a very honest answer, not the answer that might be expected of us. What do you seek? Why do you get up on a Sunday morning and come to a place of worship such as this? Why do you have a Bible in your home or in your hand? Why do you sing the songs that we sing? Why do you pray? Why do you call upon the Lord? For what reason do you do these things? What do you seek? First of all, the context of what has been taking place here 2,000 years ago. We've been making our way through John chapter 1, for some weeks. And here, before we get into the other portions of John's amazing account of Jesus, here John is setting the stage very, very carefully. He is unfolding and unwrapping the package very, very carefully, trying to impress upon each and every reader the magnificence of Christ by showing just how splendid the forerunner was and how that he treated himself as of absolutely no account. He completely put all of the spotlight and all of the glory on the one who would come after him rather than upon himself. And John, as he writes, that there is glory like none other in this Lamb of God who would come into the world. All that John the Baptist would do was simply to prepare the way, to do any small thing that he could to make straight the way of the Lord as a voice of one crying in the wilderness. But Jesus, having been introduced, first of all, before he comes on the stage, now he does come to John the Baptist down by the Jordan River, and it's there that John points to him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God," verse 29, "the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Then again on the second day, repetition being the scripture's key indication of something important being said. Here once again, as in verse 39, so in verse 36, John cries out once again, looking straight at Jesus, says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." What's the message? John, what are you really trying to say to us? He would want us not to be asking all kinds of questions about, "John, what do you think about this or about this? Or why are you baptizing?" John would want us plain and simply to get our eyes fixed upon Jesus, He would want us to behold him in all of his glory, in all of his radiance and splendor. He would want us to truly, simply behold the Lamb of God, the one who was sent from heaven's glories into this sin-sick, this sin-dead world, that he might be our Savior. Well, we don't know how many took John at his word. We know that the crowds out of Jerusalem pressed their way down the road to the Jordan to hear John. They wanted to hear him, and they heard him gladly, though he spoke very, very directly. Even the leadership, they went, not personally, but they wanted to check up on sort of what was being said down there by the Jordan River. But when John first of all cries out, verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," we really have no account of how many did exactly that. We know on the day of Pentecost that there was about 3,000 who heard and attended to Peter's word. How sad that here, John, as he cries out, "Behold the Lamb of God," was there any response? Certainly on this next day, there were two of John's disciples. One who was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, we would later learn. Two, hear the word. Later on, the disciples would ask Jesus, "Are there only going to be a few to be saved?" And Jesus, with heartbreak, he accounts to them how that, no, there will not be a great vast number. Though Jesus would come and shed his blood that all might know his salvation, that all might know his forgiveness, so often those who follow him have been very, very few. So two hear, and two do that very thing. Now, what John meant here when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," was not to say, okay, fix your eyes upon him, and then look off to some other thing that might catch your attention. Behold the Lamb, and then behold Buddha, and then behold some other god of Greece or of Rome. John meant, get your eyes upon Jesus and leave them there. Leave them there. The two disciples heard him speak. They followed Jesus, we read, verse 37. And verse 37-38, Jesus turned. He sees just these two coming along behind him. He says, "What do you want?" Or rather, "What do you seek?" Many people come to the Bible, to the Lord, to a church, to a pastor, to a Christian family member or a Christian friend, and we could rightly ask them, well, what do you really want? Do you want a little bit of tangible help? Do you want a certain measure of refinement? Do you want a bit of cultural advance? Do you want education? Do you want connections in business or in other spheres? Do you want power? Do you want political advantage? Are you a curiosity seeker? Are you one who simply would want to get the answers right in some type of trivial pursuit game that involves Jesus? Well, what do you seek? Jesus had come from heaven's glories into this world, and the road that he was about to walk was not an easy one. And he was looking for disciples who would walk with him, And he spends a whole night in prayer when he comes to that point of selecting the 12 who would be most especially close to him. He says, "What do you want?" Oh, many have come to church because they find that it is a culturally sophisticated group of people, and they kind of like the prestige of being in such a circle. Some like to have the educational advantage, whether it be in North America or in other places. Very often there are schools associated with churches, and it's a way to get a leg up and to get a certain advantage in life. Some like the business connections that you can make in a circle such as a church or in Christian company. Some like the power. Some like that political advantage. Some simply want to know what they didn't know before. They want to get in on the gossip. They want to know that curious bit of information that others don't know. What do you seek? Do you seek more than these things that will pass away ever so quickly? Do you seek something that will last for all of eternity? Here in John's Gospel, we have Jesus speaking for the very first time. Oh, we'll hear so much more. But I think that Jesus hits it hard on the head of the nail as he addresses these two. And it's a bit of a rebuff. He says to them, "What do you want? What do you want? What do you want this morning?" As we come to the conclusion of the year 2014, why have you come today? These two disciples, they said to him, "Rabbi," the common way of understanding that was to translate it, "teacher." "Where are you staying?" At first, they just wanted to be with Jesus. Jesus, see this. The disciples, these two disciples, come to him. They are not pushed off. Jesus does not simply say to them an address or 5 rocks down the road and take a left and then another right. No, he says to them, "Come and you will see." Jesus bids, after the question, he bids them come and see the greatness of God. So they came and they saw where he was staying. They stayed with him that day. It was about the 10th hour, getting on late in the afternoon. And then we have the introduction, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And here we have, in a nutshell, an evangelistic model. Here, people who had come and been asked this question, "What do you want?" Given an invitation, "Come and see." And then Andrew, he goes and he finds his brother, Simon. And he bears witness of Jesus. We don't know exactly what Jesus and Andrew and that other one had talked about, but obviously it was something that so got a hold of Andrew that he was utterly convinced that this was the one who the Jews for hundreds of years had waited for, patiently longed for, eagerly anticipated. Here, see what Andrew's testimony is. "We have found the Messiah, the one who is Christ." Messiah is from the Hebrew language, and it means anointed one. Christ is from the Greek language, and it, in the exact same way, means the anointed one. The one who is anointed of God to come into the world. Andrew goes beyond simply a testimony. he comes and he brings his brother to Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and he says, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. There is a power in naming. As parents, when at the birth of a child, have the power to name a child, to call her Rachel or Sarah or Ruth. So here, Jesus is saying, "I am going to be your Lord and your Master. I am going to be the one who is going to lead you on. You are entering into a new life." Jesus is calling Simon to himself. Later on, Jesus would again walk beside the Sea of Galilee, and he would see Peter, and he would say, "Come on, Peter, it's time for you to come." But let's come back to that question. What do you seek? Are you seeking the things of this world, or are you seeking those things which are above? Are you seeking those things which are temporal, or are you seeking those things which are eternal? Are you seeking those things which satisfy the body, or are you seeking those things which satisfy the soul? Are you seeking those things which you can hold in your hand, or are you seeking those things which you can give away that can bless and strengthen others? Are you seeking those things which please God, or are you seeking those things which please yourself? Ask that question honestly, frankly. What am I seeking? Here, these disciples, they came into something vastly more than they ever could have anticipated. I'm sure it was something rather incredible to be a disciple of John the Baptist. He was known in Jerusalem, though we don't have any account of him being there himself, and of going up and knocking on any doors or of having any confrontations with the people there. He was a man of the wilderness, crying out in the wilderness. But yet people got the message. I'm sure it was an impressive thing to be John the Baptist's disciple. But hear these two. When they hear the word of John, they do the right thing, and they get their eyes off of their first master, John, who they had walked with and who they undoubtedly had dwelt with for a time, and they get their eyes upon Jesus. Would you do that very same thing on this last Sunday of 2014? Over the coming weeks and months, it's my hope to preach through much of John's gospel. John, he selects out 7 sign miracles. We're going to consider those. There are also the I ams of Christ. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We will consider each of these. There are the interviews that are contained within John that Matthew, Mark, and Luke know nothing about. We will consider how that Jesus met one-on-one with people and how that he interacted with them, not just the crowds, but he cares for the one. And then as Jesus went to the cross for you and for me, John, especially that final week, he is the one who takes us and patiently leads us through. He covers more of that final week than perhaps any of the other gospel writers. And John says that all of this has been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. What do you seek? John, as he wrote his gospel account, as an elderly man, he wanted those who would read it to have life in Jesus' name. If you're seeking anything else, you need to go and seek elsewhere, because here is life in his name. And John is taking us by the hand and leading us patiently step by step. What do you seek? I would encourage you that at the conclusion of 1 year, and as your purpose for the new year, is that you fix your eyes upon this one who came to John, and John said, "Behold,